when one takes a trip, they get a map. And they open it up, and whether you're into maps or not, you still figure it out where you're going. And then you get your destination and you say, well, you know, if I'm going to go here, it's going to require an overnight stay, I'm going to have some reservations. So you work through some reservations. You pick out maybe a Best Western catalog, and they have all the pictures of the places where you can stay along your vacation route. Makes it real nice. Tells you all about what the features are of the place that you're going. Or you may want to go the Days Inn, or you may want to take the Motel 6 route, which is a little less expensive. And there are no pictures, but there is a description of where you would like to go. Today I want to talk to you about confirming your reservations that you have at that place. And to back up a few messages, you recall we spoke about acquiring peace in unpeaceful times, how that we obviously need peace, and that there is peace available, and we can acquire this peace. And the way we got the peace was going to what? The place. Remember the place? And the place was near to the heart of God. Then the next week we talked about having that place. We talked about the place that is on the map, a place where you decide every day you're going to sit down, this is going to be your place. It's going to be a God place, we call that, remember? Some are on the map and some are not on the map. The ones that are not on the map are the ones that just happen when you're doing your whatever you do, your XYZs, day by day. And all of a sudden, God just meets you in that place. And then every time you pass that place, it's like a shrine. Oh, it was in the aisle where the pickles were at the supermarket that I just had this touched by God. Or was in the backyard, or was in the car. So we talked about the having a God place. But we closed that message last week with these words, having a place now and having a place then. And does anybody recall the scripture that we used when we concluded? The place there? Anybody? In the balcony? Anybody? Okay, John 14. But what did Jesus say? Right, I go to prepare a place. We're talking about a place near to the heart of God, having a place then. So if you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to John 14. And we want to look at what he is saying. But while you're turning, I want to tell you that nobody has ever died. Nobody in the world has ever died. Not from the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve first came to be to this very moment in which we now stand, nobody has ever died. There's not been a man, a woman, or a boy or a girl who have ever died. Nobody has ever died. Not before you call me a heretic or run me out of town on a rail. Now, there have been a lot of people who have passed from one place to another place, gone through what we call the veil, you know. As a matter of fact, before we leave today, 11,500 people are going to go through the veil. I hope there are going to be none of you. But nevertheless, in this time frame of our staying here, 11,500 people are going to pass from one existence to another. But nobody has ever died. What does Hebrews say? Chapter 10, I believe. It is appointed to men once to pass through the veil. No, Jean is shaking her head. That's not what that said. Okay, I lied. It said, it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. The word die is there. But how in the world do you reconcile that scripture with this scripture when Jesus says that if you eat this myself, you will never die? He says in John 6, verse 50, this is the bread that comes from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread. If you eat this, you will not die. And then it also says in chapter 11, verse 26, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will live, and he will never die. Do you believe this? That's what he says. Do you believe this? So I'll ask you, do you believe this? Whoever believes in Jesus will never die. So how is it possible for Hebrews to say it is appointed to man once to die, and Jesus says, well, if you will eat of my bread that I give you, you will never die? Well, old poor Job had the same question. He asked in Job, in his work 14:14, it says, if a man die, will he live again? Yep, he will. He will live again. But what we're speaking about, a man not dying, is on the backdrop of an eternal soul. And with that in mind, no one has ever died. That is why we read about the second death. Obviously, you're saying, well, people have died. Yes, the physical, they have died. Revelation speaks about a second death in Revelation 21, Revelation 2, and Revelation 20. But still, that person is alive. Alive forevermore. Forever and ever. So when God breathes into the living soul, we can actually say nobody has ever died. Nobody has ever died. But they have passed from one plane to another. Paul says, for me to die. So we're talking about the reservations for us in this place to which we are going. I speak to you today, and let's use this menu. First of all, let's look at John 14. You have it now, I trust. John 14. Let's look at John 14, 1 through 3, having the plan then. Secondly, let's, entering John 14, inspecting the place now, just inspecting that place now. Thirdly, investigating John 14, that's the name, the blessings, and the features of the place. And then fourth, getting into John 14, making preparations for it. So first of all, John 14 says, what does it say? Somebody read, would you? Okay, what beautiful words Jesus speaks. Don't be troubled, and that's enough to make us troubled, but don't be troubled, trust in God. In my Father's house are many places, and if you'll see on the overlay, in the house of my Father, actually the Greek reads, in the house of the Father of me, abodes there, many there are, but we have changed it around. The house, the word house, literally means a dwelling place. Now, I found this quote this past week, which I thought was really good. It's not in heaven that we find God, but where?
Everywhere.
No, what does it say? In God we find heaven. You know? It's so simple. It's not in heaven that we find God, but in God we find heaven. Now, the various translations that I've found in my study this past week are on the screen. It says in my translation here, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house are many rooms. And you have various translations. Some have mansions, and the Greek word is a staying or a residence. Some have abiding places. Some have dwellings, resting places, the NIV, rooms. Patty read from the Amplified, which says homes. So what Jesus is saying in that, I go to prepare a place for you. And this is real. And he's speaking to you. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in where I am going. He is going home to his Father's house, he tells his disciples. But had there been room in it only for himself, he would necessarily have told them that this was the case, because the very reason of his going was to prepare a place. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In other words, the place that he's going to prepare for each one of you this morning is a spot. And that word spot means limited by occupancy, a place. Another word for place is expanse. You know, like King Cities or the heavens, that would be a place too. But we're talking about a spot place, a place of habitation. He is speaking of quarters for the night. So Jesus says, in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We're looking at John 14. We're having the plan then and having the plan now. He says, I'm going to go prepare the place for you. Now, as you go to some of these motels, you might find that the place where you're going has this big red sign that says what?
No vacancy.
Right. And, oh, that's why you got to make reservations. It's very important that you make the reservations. A motel might turn away travelers, because the accommodations have been exhausted. But not so with God. Heaven is as wide as the heart of God. In fact, we say, Jesus, how much do you love me? And he says, this much. You know, on the cross, this much. Berkeley houses can get overcrowded. Maybe yours has gotten overcrowded in the course of time. But Jesus says, if I go, then that in itself implies that I am going to go on a journey. And what he does in going on this journey is to prepare the place, to provide for the companions, a place in which to lodge. And this was the function of Jesus. This was the function of Jesus, to go ahead. In fact, one of the great words that describe Jesus is forerunner. He went ahead, like I fought ahead for a reservation. He has gone ahead to open up a way, and he says, you may come on. Just like the Roman soldiers, they had a trailblazer, just like those coming across the plains in the early days of our country. There was a trailblazer to prepare the way. In the city of Alexandria, it was so difficult to approach by ships that they would send a pilot boat in to make sure this was the way to go, so that the larger ships would not be shipwrecked on the rocks that were not seen. So Jesus is going ahead as a pilot. And don't we even sing, Jesus, pilot me? And he goes ahead. And when he goes to this place, as he said, I'm going to this, in my Father's house there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He is going to prepare it so that it'll be really neat for you individually. If you had somebody come into your home for the first time in a long time, and you knew they liked a certain book or they liked a certain flower, wouldn't you put the certain flowers out? Wouldn't you put a book on the bedstand by the guest room? You would do things to make them comfortable when they get there. And this is what Jesus has done. He has gone ahead and he says, I'm going to prepare a place, a spot for you. And it's going to fit you just right. He wants all the rooms full. But sad to say, all the rooms will not be full. Looking at John 14, having the plan then. Now let's enter John 14. Let's inspect the place. Some of these places that we might inspect in this book, for example, have certain ratings, and they tell you what the rating is. And like it's AAA. People can come into King City and they can stay in a variety of motels, from the you-know-what to the you-know-what, and they will have the AAA, or they'll have the triple Z maybe. But anyway, there are different type accommodations. So we want to inspect the place. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to use words like size and shape and furnishings. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. This is your place. Now, maybe two or three people live in your home right now, but when you get to heaven, you're not going to be in the same house. Like your family sitting together now, and you live in one home. But when you get to heaven, each one of you are going to have your separate house to live in. As a matter of fact, it's much like this. And the reason we have to use words like size and shape is because it's the only way I can speak of spiritual things in terminology that we understand. He says, in my Father's house, and this is this little line around here, that is the Father's house, are many abiding places. Now, what do you see immediately when you see all these abiding places? They don't look the same. They don't look the same. And the reason they don't look the same is because they're not the same. They're different. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. This is the reason that spiritual things are so important. And you might live on the earth 75, 80, or 95 years old, or even more, but what is that compared to eternity? It is like a drop of water compared to the whole expanse of the ocean. The problem is, people, we get so involved in the drop that we forget the ocean. We get so involved in making a living that we forget to make a life. This is why we read in Hebrews, for example, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Here we're looking forward to a city with foundations. He was looking for a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. We're looking for heaven. In my Father's house, that's the expanse, are many abiding places. these are built as God being the architect and God being the builder. And then he says in Hebrews 13:14, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And what we're doing now, we are inspecting this place. And it is true that the size and shape of our house and dwelling place, the spot individually for you, is predicated upon what we are sending up there, because if you don't send much, they can't build much. And you say, well, I don't know if that is really true or not. Wouldn't it be best for me to tell you that if it wasn't true than to not tell you that if it was true? There is no scripture that says that in black and white, or even red and white. But there are scriptures that do say about rewards and punishments. And there's a lot of scripture on the backdrop of what the Bible calls as rewards and judgments to make me believe that there are various degrees in heaven. And so I tell you what, I better put another dollar in. And it's like being beamed up. It is an example of tithes and offerings that you are sending to heaven. I better take my Bible and spend some time reading it. I better try to serve the Lord in this way or that way. I may want to be more obedient to what the Scripture says. Now, all of these things that I mentioned, among many others, are listed in the Word of God as you do these things, you will be blessed by it. And the blessing is not just here and now, it is there and then. So we inspect this place, we pull back, in fact, maybe we should do that right now. Can you pull back the curtain just a little bit and look at your house? Number three, let's investigate the place. The name of this place where we're going to be going, because your reservations have been confirmed, is in Revelation 21, verse 2. We'll spend some time in this chapter, so I'd like for you to turn to it if you have your Bibles. Revelation 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city. Now, remember, Jesus said, I go in my Father's house, being the expanse, meaning the city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. The name of this place is the Father's house. It sort of equates to the temple. For example, in John 2:16, he talks about his Father's house being the temple, being the church. Here he's talking with the same phrase as in my Father's house. Now, in the Father's house, meaning in Jerusalem, there were many chambers, according to the word. Many abiding places within. And so with the same phrase, in my Father's house, meaning heaven, there are these places. The name is Jerusalem. It will be the capital of the new earth, and you will be a resident. Would the real city of King please stand? You know, we're living in what they call the city of King, but people, someday when we get there in the city of the King, the New Jerusalem, coming down with you as a resident in a subdivision. Now, I want you to see the blessings of this city. If you look in verse 3, God's going to dwell with you. If you look at verse 4, he's going to wipe away all tears. Verse 4, there's going to be no more death. We're talking about the blessings of the city. No more death. Verse 4, no more sorrow. Verse 4, no more pain. That's neat. You who have pain a lot, there'll be no more pain there. I mean, don't you want to get there? Get this life over with? Verse 5, everything is going to be new. Verse 6, there's going to be plenty of water. No more water commissioners telling them to just do this and that. Verse 7, eternal sonship. In chapter 22, verse 3, there's no more curse. In chapter 22, verse 15, you got some good neighbors, no ungodly neighbors. These are some things, these are some of the blessings of the city where you'll be living, where the reservations have been confirmed already. Now, the features of the city are pretty neat. In this city to which we go, we're going to find the subdivision is just really neat. In fact, I just found this last night. It says, free, beautiful homes. Free, beautiful homes. And then as I opened it up, it says, get away, and they're given away free in the perfect city. And in this place, there are no more water bills, there are no more light bills, a permanent pavement with gold, everything is new. And he goes on about the conditions, the health conditions are good, everybody's immune from accidents and sickness. There's beautiful music. I mean, some of you like to go to bed at night with beautiful music. We'll have that there. And free transportation in the city, and a title to the homes obtained free from God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The features of the city. Go back to chapter 21. Let me just read this to you. It shone with the glory of God. Chapter 21, verse 11. Its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, 12 angels at the gate. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, 3 on the east, south, etc. And then it goes on to giving the measurements of the city. And then it goes on to tell you more of the things that are going to be in the city. The lighting system, 21 verse 23, for example, with the lighting system there. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. The glory of God is going to give it light. Remember in the temple, the light would be so bright? It says here that the glory of God's going to be there. It's going to give it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. And the nations will walk by its light. And the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Your Bible say that too? No night there? It's just going to be such different than it is now. It's a place to which we go. We talk about its traffic, the chapter 22, which you can read at home, tells about the food that you will be eating there, the restrictions that you're going to get. So let's look quickly at number 4. It's getting into it. It's getting into it. It's like making reservations. You've got to have that ticket. So here's a letterhead from Bengar Travel. Not to heaven, but to visit my dad in Shreveport, Louisiana next month, November, 2 months. I've got the reservations made. It's just like, it's just the ticket for you. It's just a ticket for you going to heaven. Jesus is making all of the arrangements. All we have to do is to do what He says, to accept Him. And unless you come to Calvary and stand there and look up at His body, which is given for you, the shed blood and the broken body, and accept what He did by faith, which we call the atonement, then you're not going to be able to get the ticket, and you won't have the reservations. But praise God, we do have this in Jesus. As I close, let me just give you the guide. This is called the Traveler's Guide to this place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You say, okay, thank you, Jesus, but can you tell me something about it? It's like this book that has all the pictures in it. Well, first of all, the accommodations are going to be, as we've just read, the passport you have to have. Persons seeking entry will not be permitted past the gates without having proper credentials and having their names entered with the ruling authorities. Some of you pick up in your Bible memory that your name must be recorded there. Okay. Departure time, well, the exact date of departure has not been announced. Travelers are advised to be prepared to leave, you know, at a short notice, because the Scripture says you do not know the times of the Father. Your ticket is a written pledge that guarantees your journey, and it should be claimed, and its promises firmly held in your hand while you are living here. Like he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Customs. Only one declaration is required while going through customs, and that is, I declare unto you the gospel that Christ died for our sins. And immigration. How about this? All passengers are classified as immigrants, since they are taking up permanent residence in a new country. And the quota, it's unlimited. It says they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. that has been prepared for them in the city. Luggage, no luggage whatsoever can be taken, and that is because we brought nothing into the world, and we're certainly not going to take nothing out of the world. Travelers going directly by air are advised to watch daily for indications of immediate departure. Remember, we which are alive will be caught up, snatched up in the air to meet those, and we will be with the Lord forever. Inoculations and vaccinations are not necessary because in this place where Jesus has gone to prepare for us, disease is not known. We read that in the scripture. Currency, supplies of currency may be forwarded ahead of time to await the passenger's arrival. Deposits should be as large as possible. It says, lay up for yourself not treasures where? Upon earth. But where do you lay them up? In heaven. For the thieves don't break in and steal. And then what about your clothing? A complete and appropriate new wardrobe is provided for each traveler. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. What about time changes? You know we have to change with the time as we fly across the country. Resetting of watches will not be necessary, nor will watches, because you know why? There is no time there, because God is the sun. The city has not need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it. And reservations, booking is now open. And the reason they say apply at once is because the scripture says, now is the accepted time. So if you are here, or if you're listening to me somewhere and you do not have the reservations, you can certainly get them just by saying, Jesus, I accept what you did for me at Calvary. And then he says to you, okay, I've already gone to prepare a place for you. Now, if I go ahead and prepare that place for you, doesn't it make sense that I'm going to come back and get you so that you can be with me in that place? And then Doubting Thomas said, Jesus, I don't know where you're going, and I don't even know how to get to that place. And then Jesus turned to him in John 14, the verses that we didn't read, that follow verse 1 through 3, he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Father God, thank you in your infinite mercy and wisdom that you sent Jesus to do what we could not do. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And the reason this is so important, I see, Jesus, is because in heaven there is no sin, and there is nothing that can contaminate it. And so I must be washed white in the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I thank you, God, for resurrecting Jesus, and that he now sits at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor for each one of us. I thank you, God, for making the plans, making the preparation, making it indeed possible for us to go there. Because when we die, we will either go there or somewhere else. And may, as we have looked this day at some of the benefits and the blessings of this place, maybe it would encourage us, maybe it'll bless us to realize, hey, there is something being done. Life is worth the living. I am making preparation for that place. So, Father, what we can say is just thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you for blessing us then and now. And I pray, God, that your Spirit now would move in this place where we have met, as if the Holy Ghost, the person, would be moving down the aisles and the rows, going to each person, touching each person by the Spirit, and I ask God that the need that everybody has at this very moment, as the needs would vary from one extreme to the other, would be met in Christ Jesus by the touch of the Holy Spirit.
even as I speak. I speak this in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Amen. Let's stand in His presence. May we, Jean, if you just stand in His presence, close your eyes in His presence. We've made mention of the Holy Ghost moving to us right now. It's like I want to lift out my hand and say, I welcome you, Holy Ghost. I welcome you. The needs I have are so many. And I suppose that every one of us would say, yes, there are needs that are many. There are physical needs that need to be taken care of by the touch of God. There are marital relationships that need to be touched by the hand of God. There are finances that need to be touched by the hand of God. There are new jobs that need to be touched by the hand of God. Their attitudes, their conditions need to be touched by the hand of God. Father, we stand in your presence to honor you, and we just bless you, Father, at this time. And I know the Holy Ghost is moving among us right now. But if you would like to come out from where you stand and come to the altar to kneel and pray, or to come to the altar and let us lay hands upon you, or to speak about some body ministry in our church, we invite you to come. The altar is open. And the Spirit says, come. Patty's coming with a sore throat, and if there's anybody else who has a sore throat, in Jesus' name, I anoint this throat, and I agree with my sister that sore throat has no right in this temple of God, and in Jesus' name, I rebuke the problem that has caused this, and I thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses just like any kind of medication that would be taken in the mouth that would go down the throat. We appropriate the blood of Jesus into the throat right now. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are healing. You are healing. In Jesus' name, we appropriate that. Amen.